The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions on Patreon. Head to patreon.com/SWOCBC for ad-free episodes, reading guides, movie and TV episode audio watch-alongs, and more. Today's Old Canon Fact of the Day comes from the Star Wars Essential Guide to Weapons and Technology by Bill Smith, first published in 1997. When she was a member of the Imperial Senate, Princess Leia Organa of Alderaan often carried a Draenorian defense conglomerate Defender sporting blaster under the pretext that her humanitarian assistance missions involved a considerate amount of danger. In truth, Leia was using her status as a senator to allow her to spy for the outlaw rebel resistance, and her unerring marksmanship with this weapon allowed her to permanently silence many Imperial soldiers before they could report her rebel activities. Today's selection is Splinter of the Mind's Eye, a novel by Alan Dean Foster and first published on March 1st, 1978. Enjoy the show, and may the Force be with you, always.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Old Canon Book Club.
The Old Man Book Club. Star Wars. It's us.
That's us. Yeah. Alex, Davis, Jesse here once again to talk about the old world of Star Wars. Yeah. And honestly, still in love with it.
Dude, I've loved everything so far. This one, I love so much. Absolutely love it, and also am absolutely so glad this was not the movie, because this...
It's crazy.
It's a little crazy. This book is like fun and so interesting, and we would not have Star Wars
it's
today.
Yes. It's like a 70s action movie, like a 70s like basic action movie, just like wrapped in a little bit of a Star Wars wrapper. And we talked about this briefly in the first episode when we talked about that Alan Dean Foster, 1976... George Lucas comes and contracts him because he needs to ghostwrite the first novel, Star Wars Adventure, like whatever it was called, Adventure from the Diary of Luke Skywalker, whatever it was. And part of that deal was a second story, a second novel.
Right.
And the deal was that, like, when the book was made, they already knew that they were going to go for a movie. So I guess at the time, people actually, like, that's part of the promotional process for movies is you put these books out and people actually like that actually gets people interested or whatever. And it did well as a book alone. But the idea was, well, if the movie tanks, at least we still have this like budget sequel. And I think even from the beginning, just based on like what happens in this, that it's kind of like a maybe he had the edict of like you got to get in, you got to get out, and nothing, no status quo change can happen at all from the beginning to the end of this story. That's how it feels.
Yeah, it feels like an episode of a
Yeah, they don't really know. Like, and it's kind of what we were talking about last time when we watched the movie. Like, they don't really know who these characters are. We don't know the legacy of these characters yet. They're just characters in a movie, and we're still in the sweet spot where Alan Dean Foster has not seen Star Wars probably in writing this.
That was the one note I made when he was like, there's a part where after they crash, like Luke's getting out of his thing and he tells R2 to like hold on to him. And I was just like, how?
With that little shitty, with that little
did
arm?
Did you think like, well, because they don't have VHSs, right? Like, right. I'm like, did he mix up in his head? He's like, oh yeah, the golden guy, he's got the arms. Did he like
I don't think he's.
But R2 beeps and boops, so he knows that it's not the one that, never mind.
I don't think he's literally seen Star. I don't think, because this the contract happened in 76. So he probably wrote these bang, bang, or maybe he waited right after it came out. So there's no zeitgeist. It's still forming so fresh.
It's also supposed to be the first draft of the second movie.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that they thought of during the entire process was, and like you mentioned, if this doesn't make any money, the first movie, a second movie, can we do it on a budget? And so the book... And going forward, as we talk about it, keep in mind the entire book is done as if they have to use all the props they already have. And the reason why it's a jungle setting is because that was the easiest to fake in film.
It's like a bottle episode of a show.
Yeah.
It has no characters. Han Solo's not in it.
Han and Chewie just...
Are they even mentioned?
Well, no. Here's the thing. It's because Harrison Ford had not signed a contract to be a part of the rest of the series. So they didn't know if he was ever coming back.
It's just weird because they reference the, you know, the Battle of Yavin. They don't call it that, but like the Death Star and all that stuff. But like, yeah, that just, I didn't even get a reference to him.
Yeah, it has no, I think there's something awesome about this because it feels like the type of thing that they really would be up to that's like not worthy of a movie.
Sure, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I, like the fact that they get stuck on this planet and there's all these characters, like it's so weird that they basically do the same thing. Again, like Obi-Wan Kenobi is kind of there again as, what's her name? Hala. And like, you know, you just kind of get the same thing where you get the like hangar scene at the end and Vader shows up and they like fight and then somebody like, you know, I don't even know that anybody dies in this.
Like, it's weird. They have a Vader death, but then not.
Yeah.
Like Vader dies and he's like, he'll be back.
Vader gets like completely destroyed and then lives.
It's a, yeah, dude, it feels so 70s fantasy.
Yeah.
Like, I can hear the soundtrack in my head, and it's not John Williams. Like,
yeah,
the crystal stuff.
The liberties, like, the liberties they take with things like the Force, how Darth Vader works, like, what the deal is with the Rebellion, and, like, honestly, actually, the Rebellion stuff is, like, straight out of the fucking Clone Wars show. Like, yeah. This is exactly the type of bullshit that, like, Amidala would be, like...
This is actually, like, it's a diplomatic mission that goes awry. This is, like, a Clone Wars episode, 100%.
Yeah, it really is. It really is, like, a Clone Wars episode, exactly. And really nothing happens. Like I could see this being 45 minutes long as a video thing. Like, it's pretty loose. But that said,
I'm trying to find it right now, and I hope maybe one of you can tell me what it is. There's a movie from the 70s that, you're absolutely right, has this vibe where it's one of those cartoon movies that's probably a Max Baxi or whatever the hell that guy was called.
Yeah.
And I can't remember his name right now, but it's
Ralph Bashke.
That's who it is, yes. Where it's them riding on the back of like red dodo beasts.
Oh, wizards.
It has the exact same vibe as wizards.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. It's... so much like the idea that there's like a trilogy of like set events that define Star Wars, which to me right now, like as a person who's regularly watching Star Wars and like Andor is out and it's like blowing my mind and I'm really thinking
so
about
good.
I'm just thinking about like what it is about it that really sets it apart. And I think, you know, one of the main things, and this is not like, I, you know, it's a pretty over discussed topic, but like, the idea of Star Wars being inescapably tied to the Skywalkers, Luke, Han, Leia, Chewbacca, like the notion of what that's even tied to right now, even though Luke Skywalker exists as a character and Leia exists as a character, we're not mythologizing them yet. We don't know what Luke's hero's journey is. So we're looking at this and this is like the Mega Man cartoon. Like we're looking at something that's like just episodic. Like
Saturday morning Zelda. Excuse me, like, princess.
Yeah, like literally, like that's what this is. There's no legs here at all. This is just like, like exactly what you said. It's like Majora's Mask. They were like, hey, let's take this thing that we made and do like a refit, like a, when they take a arcade cabinet and like change the board inside. Like it's just very,
but the outside
very
still says Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. I actually think that it lets there be some very bold things that are great. And because the movies kind of define the look and feel of the Star Wars universe, like alien types and things like that, that are in pretty much all the Star Wars stuff, not here, like different aliens here.
This made me appreciate more that one book that we read from New Canon that was like, and then the rock people showed up.
Yeah.
And like it has the exact same vibe.
That was Battlefront 2. That was like the weirdest shit ever. But here's the other thing.
That was so, also, the rock people were so removed from what that was even about.
They were like,
it's like the novelization of a video game. Yes. And it's like, the video game are like Black Ops.
And it was following
and
up
it was
on
like
characters.
Golems.
From
like it just doesn't even. It's,
but this has that same, we're going to get weird with it vibe, except because this is technically story 2 and we know nothing. And it's set up from moment 1 to be like, welcome to the weird planet. you expect it's going to get weird, and that's fun.
That's kind of the flavor of this era. It's like the now what era of Star Wars.
Like, on top of just going back and rereading the books that I already knew I loved, this is like, this book is like what I was hoping to find, like uncover new diamonds where it's like...
I think you're just going to like everything, to be honest with you.
No, I know, but like, this is like, and from us like doing the whole thing where we're building the tapestry of Star Wars from the ground up, it's so, it's just so interesting to be like, and you didn't, you never went any further this way, but this is such a cool little area to unlock.
Though I will say, reading this book, first of all, I'm pretty sure they directly name check Mimban in Andor. And, but also, Andor, if you look at Andor.
And I don't know
if
that's true.
But no, dude, I swear to God that they say Mimban in Andor. And also, if you just look at the structure of Andor and like what happens, like especially the arc that involves Stonehenge.
Sure.
Or, you know, not actually Stonehenge, but like whatever fake Scottish thing they, whatever they're doing.
Yeah, that religion.
Yeah. That's like almost it. That's like almost this. Almost.
You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's that type of story. And that, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what you call that. I don't know. This is just like a D&D campaign, Star Wars tale kind of thing. A module, if you will. But it is just so, I mean, there's nothing going on. There's no layers to this. There's nothing. Right. It's just pure pulp.
Yeah. If you're looking for like big galaxy defining events.
No. This is a McDonald's cheeseburger.
But it's like great if you just love the little characters in a little situation. It's fun. The like technology that they have is super fun. Like the way they're talking about on the when they're flying in the beginning, like reading the tapes. Like you're like, oh, this is like early in the computer era. Or even like when he's talking to like the Moff that he's like trying to show the footage to. When it's like a tube, like a glass tube, that then they like, there's a liquid inside of it that they're like images appear in. And then he literally holds it. He has to like hold it up to the, what do they call it? Like the Viz thing. They have like a name for it, but it's just like your webcam.
It's just an insane way to.
It's like, it reminds me of like in fucking Blade Runner, where it's like the technology that's like retro future technology where it's like, it doesn't mean anything. It's just really, they like spend the time to do it, and it makes it kind of like fun to like be there for.
Yeah, really weird that there's a low budget book, but that's like exactly what this is.
I'm trying to figure out tech wise what, because in the first movie we had R2's little projector thing.
We had like you can hack. We had like there's these like the glass chest screens
thing. But it's interesting to see where they thought tech would go.
Yeah.
For this franchise, because in a way, it kind of makes sense to have weird stuff because everything that we have.
I think there's a little Superman in here too. I feel like because that was around the same time, right? That like maybe even the same year. What year did Superman come out?
79.
Okay, so yeah, maybe not exactly, but like that same look, like the same thing how Willow kind of looks, the same thing how what's that movie with Tom Cruise?
Legend.
There's this flavor.
Legend. It has such a legend energy.
Yeah, or the like Queen, the Queen, Flash Gordon movie. There's just this element of sci-fi that the
I'm saying that Wizard movie. It has that same vibe of
and of course that's exactly what George Lucas was doing with these movies. But I think this does it better. I think this is the thing.
A New Hope, though, it's weird because this is feels older than A New Hope.
Yeah,
like. That actually felt like forward sci-fi, where this is like fantasy.
I think a lot of it also though, is that to you, A New Hope is the Bible. You know it. It's something about it as a story, as like one of the pulps about Star Wars. It's elevated in your mind. You know every second of what happens.
Yes, but I also like, because a lot of times people are like, it's space fantasy, it's not sci-fi. That was at least like star bases.
Mm-hmm.
Planets. This is like a bog with sorcerers.
Yeah.
There's a crystal cave.
Yeah. Like it's like a witch. Yeah.
There's like a magical gem, the Kyber crystal. Like it's so.
But yeah, that's
fantastical.
That's the thing. And speaking of that, the Kyber crystal. Like
they go on a boat made up of a
big leaf. Yeah. No. But there's genealogy here. There's lineage too. Like this is questionably canon or not. Like. Well, I mean, obviously it's not now because it's in Legends, but like in the Legends timeline, Did in Heir to the Empire, are we talking to the same Luke that went to Mimban? I don't think so.
No.
But
we're
maybe.
Not. We're not because Lord Darth Vader doesn't exist.
Well, but they did eventually adapt this into a comic like later.
That's how I saw
it. In the 90s. Yeah, there's a whole 90s version of it.
I kind of want to read it. That's how I saw like what some of these creatures were when I'm like,
we'll get there.
What are you trying to describe? And I Googled it and I was like, that's a sand dune. That's a dune. That's another dune.
We're going to cover everything. So we'll eventually get to Splinter of the Mind's Eye. And a couple other things that were retold as comics. And I think that's interesting to look at as well. You know, I think looking at novelizations and comics compared to the movies, like in terms of our mission of like digging into Star Wars a little bit, I think that stuff's super fun. And speaking of digging into Star Wars, let's dig into this right now. We are on Yavin. At the beginning of this book, Luke is thinking about how crazy his life is. He's very stupid. Luke is.
He's very stupid. Luke is
like,
yes.
Luke drops a lot of the stuff that he has in A New Hope in the next two movies, like because they needed to advance him as like a Jedi disciple, like for Yoda and for like especially in Return of the Jedi, he's just like totally changed between the movies, right? But in this. You get the same Luke who was about to like beat up a girl in the last story that we read.
Basically,
Wormy. Yeah, basically this is Wormy. This is a story about Wormy. This is not Luke Skywalker the hero. This is Luke Skywalker the absolute trash man. He is
dude. I love it though because this actually continues. He like kind of like came online as a person in the Battle of Yavin, like, and that confidence streak, like. Continues.
He like literally
is Han Solo. Like they don't need Han Solo now because he like took that energy and folded into.
Yeah, Luke. he's like a little racist because he's like not from here. He doesn't give a shit about stuff. He really just feels like a dusty little farm boy asshole bastard. I love this version of Luke Skywalker.
He like talks the talk. He like tells the princess like you don't know how it is. Like you walk like a old money.
He reminds me of like you know those guys in Monty Python that are like I didn't vote for you, like,
yes
yeah you just because you put somebody threw a fucking sword at you out of a lake you're like the fucking king now what the fuck who are you? That's who this is. Luke is a emotionally driven, hormone driven. He's like playing long ball like Mr. Ripley shit with Leia like
dude,
trying to
any moment that he can editorialize because it's not like. The difference between this and the last one that Alan Dean Foster wrote is it's not like a person sitting you down and telling you the story. Mm-hmm. So you just get Luke's all when they're about to die, he still feels the need to talk about how sexy she is. It's wild.
There is this big and I feel like, again, this has to go back to the idea of them coming up with this idea before the movie was like released out into the world before they had ideas for future things.
Before it was like the God movie.
Yeah. Well, there's because it's very clear from this book that whatever the hell Han Solo's role was, he was like dad energy.
Yeah.
And the story was going to be about Luke and Leia just hamming it up and Luke being kind of an asshole.
Falling their way across the galaxy
and then
marital them, spats.
Yeah, them getting it on. And this book clearly illustrates that.
Yeah.
That these two were designed to be love interests.
And it's funny because he's like gaming. Because the book is like kind of from Luke's point of view pretty much all the time.
Yeah.
They give you scenes where it's like, do you think she'll like me more if I like say this to her now or should I like he's like doing like mystery type shit. What's that guy? Is that his name? Mystery?
That's what I'm saying. Luke Skywalker in this book.
Whatever it's called.
Luke Skywalker in this book is every single like TikTok video where it's like, all right, so if a girl messaged you, you gotta wait a minimum 3 days.
Like that's like half of his fucking storyline in this book.
Yes.
But basically the first movie, the events of the first movie for Luke right now when we meet him at the beginning of this book are basically like he like took his first hit of weed ever and he's like, whoa, where did Ben Kenobi go, dude? He's here, but he's like gone. Like, what the fuck? And he's thinking about how much shit has gone on and how shitty the galaxy is and how awful humans are. And
do you want me to read the first? I have the first two paragraphs.
Please do.
Dude, this is the opening paragraph of the book.
This is the Luke that drinks.
This is the Luke that like
drinks beer.
He made me be like, wait. Did Rian Johnson read this before? this is the opening of this book. How beautiful was the universe, Luke thought. How beautifully flowing, glorious, and aglow like the robe of a queen. Ice black, clean in its emptiness and solitude. So unlike the motley collage of spinning dust motes men call their worlds, where the human bacteria throve and multiplied and slaughtered one another.
Agent Smith.
All so that one might say he stood a little higher than his fellows. In depressed moments, he felt sure there was no really happy living matter on any of those worlds. Only a plethora of destructive human diseases, which fought and raged constantly against one another. A sequence of cancerous civilizations, which fed on its own body, never healing, yet somehow never quite dying. That's the opening of this fucking book!
Looks like a radicalized
millennial. I was like, what?!
This is what happened when, this is just Luke, like, living through Trump's presidency. Like, he's like, damn, like, society failed me.
He's like, when the next Game Awards come around, I
have the perfect shoes to walk up on stage and give thanks to the GOAT, Bill Clinton.
He has a couple of like little like lines and quotes in here where you're like, whoa, Alan Dean Foster or somebody.
Real
like,
talk.
Like, I do think they do a good job of like continuing his Star Wars, but there are some moments where I'm like, how you really feeling?
Yeah. So basically, Luke is ruminating on the fact that even though he was the hero of the rebellion and that he could have basically done whatever he wanted, he had like the clout to do whatever he wanted. We still get a sign of Luke, like, you know, trending towards his eventual priest-like, monk-like vibe that he eventually gets in later things. Because he does decide he would rather just be a pilot and, like, do what he can on the ground and not be, like, a major player.
Reading through his, like, explanation about all this, it kind of, like, I was like, it's almost quaint to remember that, like, in the beginning, all he wanted to do was fly. I'm like, knowing where you go, the things that you do, the idea that all you wanted was just to be a pilot. It's like, so it's almost like, oh, the places you're going to go, though.
Yeah. And so we get this really weird situation as they're going down to this planet called Sicarpus or something like that. And basically, the setup is weird. Okay. So Luke's still in his X-wing and he's
this setup is the laziest. I love this
it
book.
It really is. All right, I'm glad we can agree on that. It's like, pretty lazy.
So like, this is just, they wanted a bottle episode.
Yeah.
So the way they did it was just like, instead of setting it up, they're just like, all right, only Luke and Leia are going. She's not a pilot, but she's flying.
They have no Millennium Falcon, so they've put Leia in an X-Wing. So Luke's in an X-Wing with R2-D2, and weirdly, If you know about Y-wings, you'll know that they have two seats in the cockpit, and that one faces forward and that one faces backwards, right? But or something like that. But
you're just making up rules now.
Well, there's two seats, and it's like weird. But Leia's in one, and C-3PO, like the last person that I would ever want to be driving a spaceship for any reason, is in the other one. And then they crash, and they're like, "How did this happen?"
They crash, and it's not even like, I mean, when you get to the planet, it's explained. But like, instead of having something happen, it's just like, oh, her engine failed. We got to set it down on this planet.
Well, we know
they have a hyperspace beacon or whatever, so we can go there. And then when they get in the atmosphere, they have the storm cloud that like crashes.
But we know that the reason it happened later is because of the like weird mining equipment that goes off and it makes.
But that's when they're in the atmosphere.
Yeah,
right? That's the weirdest part. Is you're just like, and her thing fucks up. And they go there. Like, it feels so, like, whatever. Just shut up. Yeah. They're there.
Well, we don't know. They haven't really established how dangerous space even is outside of the one movie that we've seen. And in that movie, like, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what their conception was of, like, how hard it is to get around in Star Wars.
It's just the idea, like, the arguably the most publicly important figure in the rebellion who isn't a pilot, they're just like, yeah, fly yourself. Like, you know, and they say that them meeting with the rebels here is like a big thing. It just, you kind of just have to go like,
it's some Clone Wars bullshit. It's literally like, they need to get down to this planet because there's like a tense geopolitical situation where they got to get in there and like be present to like convince. It's like something like contrived, like they got to convince like this small faction to agree with them so that the larger faction will agree with them. And the Rebel Alliance has all these resources because they're like fence sitters and they need to be convinced to
Didn't And isn't there like a thing about particularly it had to be her? Like they were inspired by
yes,
her.
Yes, yes.
So, it had so to they be. They're really like, we got to get to the Greek.
And yeah. They were trying to like sneak it. You know what I mean? Because.
Thought about that.
Question. Did they mention this in the book? What energy were they mining? The Empire. What? They have an energy mine. I don't know what that means. But it was something. I just can't remember what it was.
Yeah, I cannot remember.
But I don't think it was like, you know, they talk about all the new uses of energy and stuff now in Star Wars. It was not that. It wasn't like, oh, yes, they're getting durium or whatever the hell. This was some nonsense. I have no idea what. But I thought it was funny that, oh, yeah, the energy mining is causing problems. And you're like,
was whatever. For hyperspace stuff?
Hit like, the bong. Like, you know,
like what is energy? Like, they're energy mining. But I guess that's no different than vapor.
Yeah,
harvesting. Yeah, evaporators.
So basically, Leia's port engine is generating unequal radiation pulses or whatever. So they try to get, like, Leia wants to
space.
Leia wants to like be safe, and Luke doesn't, and so that's why they're in this mess, which is like a weird thing that Luke like carries with him the entire story. But there's no record of a base on Mimban, which is where they decide to stop. But they're like, well, there's a landing beacon though. So like, what the hell is that if there's no station? So they're like, okay, let's figure it out. And then the electrified vapor in the troposphere
from the mining
ruins all their equipment. Landing is like impossible. They both decide they're just going to try and crash land it. They end up pretty far from each other. And then they're in Mimban, which is basically Dagobah.
Yes. Like, swampy, gross, awful.
Yeah, it was funny that in both this and in Empire Strikes Back, A, Luke gets a face disfiguring injury. Yep. Like he like gashes his head in
real life too. Like which is crazy because it's like all based on Mark Hamill getting in a car accident.
Well, like they do. You think is that what this is?
I don't think that. I think
this is before that. Right?
They always say like. There was like a popular, I don't know where we've landed with it, but the popular theory was like, oh, that was to cover his scar. But then like George Lucas is like, no, that's not what it was about. But then you're like, and it was a damn lucky coincidence.
Yeah.
But then this happens and you're like, wait, I don't know, maybe it wasn't. Maybe what? Like it is a coincidence.
Just, yeah. I think Luke is just a character who like really you want to fuck up his face.
Yeah. Well, and also, landing on Dagobah also is like proto-
So yeah, so they crash separately. Luke and R2 are together. He's trying to get out of the ship, and R2-D2
holds on to him.
He's like he comes over and Luke uses R2 to get out or something, and then they go around and he's looking. He's like scavenging for stuff, and he's like, well, if her course is headed like in this direction, we can like triangulate it, and we'll probably find her in like a week. So it's like not a good situation. They believe they're in complete barren wilderness. But before they're able to like really get anywhere, there's a eight-limbed furry creature that confronts Luke briefly before it like runs away. And he's like, whoa, this is a weird planet. Yeah.
You're not inaccurate in the description of whoa, what a cool creature that definitely will be cool in a movie.
Yeah. Like, it's just
pretty much it.
Literally like a special effects sequence.
There's like some stuff where it's like, he's a farm boy from Tatooine, but he like knows, like all of a sudden he has like thoughts. He describes one of the structures as an eldritch structure, which I was like, how the fuck do you, Luke Skywalker, have any concept of eldritch?
They go hard and fast with that shit in these books.
Yeah.
There's a couple things in this book where I'm like, all right. I like how brazen it is, honestly.
Yes,
compared to the stuff that we were reading in the Disneyverse. Like, it feels more like hokey. It feels like it's like 70s shit. It feels like when you're like, that's corn or whatever. Like, you know, like, oh, like some like cheese. I want some cheese. You're like, okay, yeah, they just have cheese because this is like 70s make-em-ups. Like, whatever. I'll buy that.
Right.
Instead
of saying shit, we're going to say poodoo
or
and
trays.
Spend,
yeah, like,
yeah, spend yeah. forever using poodoo instead of just like, someone say shit.
Is please. That choys?
Well, they do Carilia? It. They like, they do that here. They do like a luma instead of a light. I wrote a couple of the. They have trucks. They literally were like,
oh, it's a
they
truck.
Could steal a, like a shuttle or a truck. Don't ever talk about it again. They have trucks,
they got
I guess.
Trucks. Well, we know they have trucks now, too, in the real Disney Star Wars verse.
Also, Illuma is probably just a brand of light.
Oh, yeah, Luma brand light.
Luma brand light.
It's like a Kleenex Imperial, or a Xerox.
Actually, secretly owned by the Empire, so...
Everything was.
So, Leia and 3PO, like, don't get as fucked up as Luke and R2 do, for some reason, even though C-3PO is, like, literally, that's a terrible idea to give him, let him fly a ship. He can barely move his body. Leia's like, well, Luke's probably going to come look for me, so I'm just going to, like, stay here unless he's dead. But if he's dead, then I guess I'll just die here. That sucks. And so that moment happens, and then she hears a noise, and she shoots at the noise immediately. And then Luke's like,
oh, hey.
The fuck? Hey, what's up? So Leia's like, haha, sorry. And they're like, all right, let's go find the bacon. Maybe we can, like, get our shit repaired or whatever. So,
but also, we're undercover.
Well, they don't even get to that because first, Leia, like, they have, like, a quicksand little scare. I don't know if you remember that, but just, like...
Yeah, like, they got the droids involved.
Yeah, there's, like, a little quicksand scare. She almost... Her whole body goes in the clay. And so that's why she looks like shit when they get to the town, which, like, works to their advantage a little bit. But they, like, fight. And Luke's, like, kind of a dick to Leia again. And this
there is... It's so angsty. There's, like, a lot of that, like, YA, like... We're into each other, but, like, we kind of, like, fight.
Yeah. It's really...
They fight like siblings. It's crazy. Yeah,
it's really weird.
It's so interesting. Again, reading this on the Kindle, because I can see the most popular... Like, I was highlighting any part that was, like, sexy talk, and those were the most highlight... Like, clearly people that were also going back were like
what the fuck?
Dude, they were gonna... They're not brother and sister! Right. They're fuck couple people.
Fuck couple.
They're fuck couple people.
They were gonna like get nasty.
FCPs,
everybody,
man.
Everybody who's not a brother or a sister is a fuck couple
person.
Yeah. All right. So So they set up like shelter. Like there's fire. R2 and 3PO are gonna keep watch while they sleep. They figure it out. And then they get cozy. And there's like a moment where Luke's like looking at Leia's lips.
Dude, he's gonna kiss her
while she's sleeping. And he's like, no, that would be weird. And I'm like, thank God. And then they have some of those paste cube things to live. And they're like, this food is so crappy. And they like talk about the food a lot in this in a weird way that doesn't even make sense because it's completely imaginary food that we can't see. So it's weird that they – whatever. Then 3PO finds this thing.
He knows that like food is a real humanizing thing. So.
Again, this was the low budget movie. So you have to imagine everything in this being filmed because that's what they were going to do.
That's how I've been thinking.
So I have to imagine this was world building for them. We're going to talk about how terrible the food is and like, haha, we know that they like meal ready to eat things for their classic, rebellion like, suck.
It's like big time, like scenes vibes.
Yeah. Yeah.
C-3PO finds a building. R2 gets his like blowtorch flame and like clears the area, which is hilarious. So R2 has been doing ridiculous shit since
forever,
since OG. So anybody who's mad about his little rocket boosters can just let go.
I hate those.
Just let go. You can just let go.
I do too, but you know
why I hate him? Because he had that like 30 years before, like he can do incredible feats that like would have changed the course of the original trilogy.
To be clear,
and they would have been.
I was quite healthy when I was younger as well.
Droids.
And what is, life,
I'm just going to say my mom's iPad no longer updates to 12.5 was the last update.
God damn.
So you can't download any new apps. You can't do anything. So all I'm saying is R2, his version was a little bit behind.
He's vintage.
Yeah. He doesn't have flamethrowers anymore because he can't activate them.
So they're starting to pick up context clues about this place. And they're like, this is like a lot bigger than like a weird secret base. Like, what the fuck is going on? Then they're like, oh, shit. Fucking stormtroopers. The last thing that we want to fucking see. So now they're like, okay, well, now that we have the intel that this is here, immediately Sicarpris is going to like join our rebellion. So that's good because they're not going to be happy that
they don't know that there's like a secret outpost in their system.
But we are fucked now because now we are in the den of the beast rather than on like a rural remote planet. So we're fucked. So Luke gets some outfits from somewhere and like from a haberdashery or wherever he fucking goes.
Oh, doesn't he go to like a barracks or like a storage?
Like he just like gets some clothes from
like a surplus store.
It's like a mining town, so isn't it all like company stuff?
It's like he's going to like the like place where you buy the like
an army surplus.
Yeah, like the Wolverine boots or whatever.
Yeah.
And so he gets that stuff. They're like naked. There's like naked stuff where like Leia's like, he's like, oh, I want to look at her tits. And you're like, what
the fuck? He definitely doesn't say I want to look at her tits.
But it's like, but it's like, that's the vibe. It's like
this, he is a, oh, what is it? What is it? What's the term that the kids say when you're like horny?
Oh, he's horned up.
He's horned up.
Horned up.
He's all
catchphrase, Jesse
up.
Cox.
Don't know what he's like. Do.
Whatever. He's just like horny the whole. Literally, they're about to die, and yeah, he just notices it. How supple her like almost dead lips are. It's insane.
I'm just saying for the record, he does not go. Gotta see her tits.
He's by himself, and he goes, oh, she just want to look at those tits. And C-3PO goes, what, sir? And he goes, shut up.
R2's like, whoop, whoop.
He says, give me that beer. Fuck you.
Oh, my muscle.
Switch off.
Why don't you go run off a cliff, you dumb robot? Maybe now let's get drunk, Leia. You're a whore, by the way.
Maybe I will, Master Luke.
But yeah, so they get like dirtied up because they realize that Princess Leia is like Princess Peach. So like she's like she can't even walk right. So he's like, here, like put some fucking dirt on. And she's like, ah, why'd you put dirt on me? And he's like, trust me, stay close. Don't say anything, you dumbass.
He became like Aladdin for this scene, which was so weird to me. Where he all of a sudden became like, again, you like were wormy. Shut the fuck up. It's you like, don't know you, anything.
It's like, have you killed someone on Tatooine? Like, what happened to you? Why are you like
this? You weren't even cool on your planet. That said,
I love that he's like this.
It does match, and he like fucks up and, you know, apologizes for it too. But it is like when you don't have Obi-Wan or a Han, like he is his own like scrappy. Like right. He steps into the role.
Yeah. So they go into the town and he's like, great. Hey, R2 and 3PO, we don't need you in the story for like a couple chapters. Why don't you just go hide in a corner? And they're like, you got it. And so that's literally what they do. And they decide to go into a bar to like get some food. And Luke's like, the guy's like, what do you want to eat? And he's like, what do you eat? And he's like, this. He's like, great, I'll have some of that. So that happens, which is like not conspicuous at all. And then they see that the server is like, these guys are fucking weird. And then he like goes and talks to the stormtroopers.
So which is like totally reasonable since nobody.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's like the most any boneheaded new person plan I can think of. Yeah.
Yeah.
They should not have done this, but they did. It's like JRPG logic. But basically they are like, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Like it looks like maybe the things that like the sharks are circling around them a little bit.
If only there was some sort of.
And Luke's like.
Deus Ex moment.
Luke's just like, I need a story. I don't know what to do. So as they're walking over, he's like, fuck you, bitch. And he like slaps Leia in the face.
Literally slaps Leia.
Yeah. He slaps her like hard in the face or something like that. And they're like, what are you doing? And he's like, it's just my bitch. Don't worry about it. Just get out of here. My business is my business. And the guy's like, I like
this. Yeah, he's like, she's my slave.
Yeah. And the Imperials are like, tight. We believe you. Get out of here. And
that checks out.
So then
one of our miners. You have your own slave.
So that's when Hala shows up, who's like the most interesting character. The thing that's interesting about her is that this is obviously in a time when they didn't really establish like what the deal is with the Jedi and what the deal is with the Force. They just kind of, and I think honestly, this is the sweet spot of the Force because they don't ever really get into this until like prequel era of like, what the point of the Force is, really. It's just sort of like more kept vague up to that point.
I like when it's less metachlorians and more like mystical.
Yeah, it's more like a literary device than it is like a quantifiable force. And I think that's the thing that's fun about Hala is she's like, yo, I know how to use the Force and stuff, but I'm like, she's like, I can tell that you're good at the Force.
It's crazy that she's just like,
this.
Oh, I can, like, you've got Force.
But he's not like. Well, this is, this book has a lot of, like, the first time Force sensitive is used, I think, like, here. But there's also, like, some sort of, like, dead end terms, like, feeling a stirring in the Force.
Well, they haven't fallen into the Force yet.
Not yet.
But she refers to them, she's like, ah, can you believe it? Two manipulators of the Force in the same, like, I don't think I've ever heard anyone ever call themselves, like, a Force
manipulator. A manipulator of the Force sounds dark side as shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's a cool phrase, though.
A manipulator is, like, the name of, like, an Imperial class.
But the way she says it wasn't ominous. She's like, ah, wow, two manipulators in the same
room. Right, yeah,
yeah. It's like, oh, it's like a verb the way that we now think of other ones.
This
but
is
it's like,
this is
now,
like,
I guess.
This has the vibe of, like, meeting the Batman that, like, fights Nazis in the 40s. Like, because you know that dude fucking was real. That's, like, what's here with going on here with Hala. It's like, we moved on from this definition of what the Force is before anything caught on. So Hala just kind of, I don't even know that she's in any of the guides or anything. I think she just kind of, they're like, don't worry about that girl.
She's like the Radagast the Brown of.
Yo, okay. First of all, Radagast the Brown is a fucking hero.
And Hala isn't?
Radagast, look, representation matters. But basically,
how is that relevant to Hala?
I needed a pot smoking wizard in Lord of the Rings, and I got one, and so nobody can touch Radagast.
And you got one here. You don't think a Hala smokes weed?
Oh no, she probably does. But here's the deal:
she grows it.
So Hala's like, you guys are not supposed to be here, but I'm like a Force person. And then so Luke's like,
dude, because he like tries to like
Luke's like okay,
he tries to like bullshit her, and she like every like
yeah,
he's like don't.
So he's
don't
like do that. So she he's like okay, I trust you then. So we're going to just tell you what's going on. Exactly. And she's like, I knew it. Okay, well, guess what? I'll help you steal the ship, but I'm trying to find this like thing called the Kyber Crystal. And I don't know why I'm here or how I ended up here and why we're talking to you or why I thought you guys would be helpful to me, but I am, and I'm helping you. So if you help me get the Kyber Crystal, I'll get you a ship out of here. And they're like, great. And so Luke's like, wait, what the fuck is the Kyber Crystal? And she's like, it's a crystal that juices up your force powers like nitro in a car. And he's like, great. That sounds awesome.
Like NOS?
How do I
like
know? Yeah. NOS. How do I know that's not a total lie? And she's like, I have a piece of it. And this is the splinter of the mind's eye, I believe, that the story is about.
I think that's what it is too.
Yeah. And so she has this like crystal and she's like, they make a big deal of the crystal in the like narrative of the book. They're like, if you have the force and you touch it, it blows your mind. But it just looks like a normal piece of rock to anybody else.
It's like a glowy, I can see this. This is the most 70s part of it. It's like, mm-hmm. I can see that effect in 90 of the movies we describe. Like, you put whatever reflecting, like, thing. It's
there's
like
this
such
item,
a 70s.
There's this item in Skyrim that's, like, all over the map on Skyrim that it's, like, I look at it, and every time I see one, I think, oh, this must be valuable. And I grab it, and it's, like, this little crystal in, like, a little thing. That is what I imagine when I think of the
crystal. I don't want to bring us back to Andor again, but I'm going to do it. The crystal Andor gets in that show,
dude, yes,
is 100% the vibe.
Dude, and that's what I'm saying. Like, if you really are thinking about the terminology and what's going on in this book, it is like a blueprint for Andor.
Yeah.
It really is. And I swear to God, they say Mimbam. Mimban? Mabimbam? What do they say? Whatever.
I'm almost positive.
Andor's like, I really enjoy the podcast. Mabimbam. No. Okay. So they taste the cocaine. Luke's like, this is the good stuff. And they're like, let's find this crystal.
Because he has like a LSD trip.
He's like, oh, shit.
Also, for the record, yeah, if Leia had any force powers, this probably would have come up right now.
Yeah, but it did
just
not.
Say. Yeah.
So,
yeah. But, well, yeah, they're because they're not really.
Right.
So
besides being
then
fucked.
The weird another weird thing happens where they're walking out and Leia's like, by the way, remember when you slapped me like a little bitch? And he's like, yeah. So she's like, mud fight,
dude. Like, this is like such a YA not
yeah,
like
yeah. Yeah.
So they just forget everything that's going on.
Mud fight.
They are laughing and hollering and flirting and having a mud fight. And because they're having a mud fight, Hala's like, shut the fuck up. And they're like, what? And then like, she has to run away with the droids and a fucking bunch of like thugs show up. And like, everybody's like in this weird, like the guys are being weird to Luke and they're being weird about Leia and Leia's
they're
being mouthy
like,
to them.
You've seen this scene in every fucking
yes
superhero movie or anything where you need like a bunch of thugs to get beat up. They're like violent / rapey implied. They're yes, like, oh, see your servants acting out. Well, don't worry about it. We'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Just to like cue up a fight.
So it draws the attention of the stormtroopers who, and Luke like harms these men. He cuts off one of the dude's hands in
dude,
like a second.
This is like, I love like this scene because it's like, I don't know, like they now under Disney, I think you probably, and even other stuff, you kind of like tone it down a little bit, but this is like, like if you think about what's really happening, it's violent.
They
take crazy.
Extra time. He takes extra time in the description to be like, the dude's hand is off, and the dude just like can't believe that his hand comes off, and he's just looking at his empty stump and screaming. You're like, oh shit!
But what's great about this is it's also before Empire sets the rules for what a good Jedi is.
Right.
We're still in that phase where in A New Hope, Obi-Wan, we see him cut off a guy's arm and we see him fight and say like a few cool one-liners. But that's it. There is no, a Jedi doesn't only attack, a Jedi defends. So, yeah, there's, all those rules were set up in other properties.
Right.
So this, they're like, oh yeah, no, he's like destroying dudes. The Force is powerful.
All he cuts people up with this fucking lightsaber. It's crazy.
It's awesome.
He does a lot. Yeah, he does a lot of
it's cool.
Really, like, I remember reading a Star Wars Insider one time about like all the different things and that like cutting off someone's hand is like a big part of lightsaber combat, which is very funny to me because they like noticed it was like a trope in Star Wars. But so because this happens, a bunch of stormtroopers like show up and the party's over. And then we meet Grammel. And
there's
I don't remember what his rank is.
Like moment here. The characters at least are like, they have a lot of fun. Leia does, we'll talk about more about her stuff later, but she like beats the shit out of a dude. And then even when they're like held up or whatever, one of the guys that she like beat up starts to get up. So she just goes over and like kicks him in the face.
Yeah.
And they're like, hurry. And she's like, sorry.
But yeah, that's like, bad. I'm, that's
like such a fun, after being slapped around and stuff, just the idea of like, even though they're like, what are you doing? You're at gunpoint. Don't go kick people again.
But that's an incredibly like, Leia moment.
Yeah, it's like such a great
Leia
moment.
Yeah.
So we get like classic like backwater Imperial stuff where he takes them up into his like little office or whatever. But the thing that's the thing, or I don't think quite right away, but basically like they have this discussion where he's like, now I obviously know that you aren't who you say you are, unless you are. And Luke's like, or maybe I am. And he's like, and perhaps you are. But what can you do for me? Maybe you have secrets which will help us. And so he gives him this story about like we're like thieves from another planet or something. And so basically they decide, all right, we're going to put the other dudes in jail. Grammel kills one of the dudes to make an example of him so you can know what kind of dude Grammel is. He's basically just like – a guy who doesn't actually have power outside of this little backwater corner of the universe where he is. And so he's extremely hungry to move up the ladder. And so he sees this as his like opportunity for something amazing, which, you know, I'm just saying Andor.
I mean, that's also every.
Yeah, it's pretty Imperial trophy.
I know, but Andor.
But specifically, yeah.
Then Grammel beats the shit out of Leia, and Luke is like, okay. We're running from Sicarpris. We're thieves, and he doesn't care. He hits her again, and he's like, he's like, okay, well, okay, we got the crystal. He's like, perfect. I'll take the crystal, and the crystal is what I will show to my like boss or whatever because it looks cool. It's glowing. I know something's going on with this, so. Then Grammel gets on the iPhone FaceTime to Governor Isada, and he's like, what is this gem? And he's like, I don't know what this gem is. But Isada's like, all right, well, tell me about these fucking thieves because we're looking for a young man and a young woman right now. And this sounds like maybe we're in the same – these guys might be the guys, the droids we're looking for.
Right.
So I'm going to come down there, and you're going to hold on to them, and you're not going to touch them. And when I get there, we'll see. Maybe you'll get a little prize. Lieutenant or whatever he says, like to be like, oh, my rank's gonna go up. So Asada's hype, Grammel's hype, and it seems like maybe Asada might be doing something similar to what Grammel is doing on a higher echelon.
Well, I mean, that's the whole Empire, is everyone's trying to do that, yeah.
Because at this point, the Emperor is like a lame duck. Like, he's like a plant. He's not like the Sith Lord. So, and they were talking about in A New Hope, the big thing was like the regional governors.
Yeah.
They got the power. So this is the next guy who's like, I'm the next Tarkin.
Yeah.
Right.
So it makes sense that he would be like, I got moves.
Yeah. So Luke like passes like a fucking charisma check and somehow like convinces this dude like to do exactly what he wants. He's like, don't touch us. Like, what's the point? You might need us.
It actually, I like this scene a lot. And it does have that, like, maybe you are who you say you are, maybe you aren't. But it does also have, like, a D&D, like, he has to lie and talks about lying, like, a couple times.
In a very specific way.
Some of them he doesn't pass the check on, but overall he gets through the encounter.
Yeah.
But it also doubles down on the fact that I don't know how, if this was a movie,
yeah,
Leia gets the shit beat out of her the entire time.
Luke hits her.
The entire
Rammel hits
time.
Her. Yeah, it's nuts. She like, she's kind of like the bruiser of, that, the, of the crew.
I actually like liked this, not like her getting beat up, but I like to see a thing where Leia got to be as involved in Greg. I feel like, well, I know, it's not a surprise, but a lot of times in movies, you know, women are like protected, like they have to fight the girl boss. They don't
sure,
like,
yeah.
Like
in Legends, she's like one of the best characters in, right, the
like,
whole
like thing. And when we looking at her in A New Hope, she was like a play on the princess in trouble. Like the moment they find her, she's like, give me a fucking gun. I'm gonna like,
she's almost
like, yeah, she jumps into the,
she,
shit.
Yeah, she does literally. Like, she does like bits about like, she like, give me that. She like cusses and shit. Like, it, the bit is like, look at this princess who's not princess-like, but now we're in this, yeah, zone where she's just another Indiana Jones
hero. Yeah, but here, yeah, she gets to get like beat up just as much as he does. She has like PTSD over the torture. She like,
yeah, which honestly, like, you'd think that, like, that's surprising that they didn't talk about that in like the regular Star Wars movies.
They like move on from it, except for, I think it was Bloodline in the new one. They like referenced it, yeah, once, but mm-hmm, like when we went back and watched in 4K and you're like, oh, she's like burn marks. I guess in the VHS, you don't like see that, but it's like,
yeah,
pretty clear. That's a torture droid.
I guess it's similar to like, have you ever played the Simpsons arcade video game by Konami?
Sure.
From like the late 80s, early 90s, I think it is.
The 4-player one?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was made like, using only the first season of The Simpsons as reference, so it is like really gives a lot of like misunderstood weight to like things that are like not even in the show,
right,
beyond that first season. So maybe, you know, we're kind of seeing something like that happening here with
that is a fucking great example of I'm gonna use that as like when people are like, what about this? You're like, it's not even relevant.
Yeah.
Like, don't even worry about it. We're beyond that.
This is Simpsons Arcade. Okay?
Yeah, this is a Simpsons Arcade situation.
But it really is. It's like the only reference work they have is the one Star Wars movie, mm-hmm, / book. So everything that's from the thing is all just going to be like details from A New Hope, which is kind of interesting. But they get taken to the holding cell, and there's like some shapes in the corner, and we meet probably the greatest characters in the whole story.
The Yuzums?
Yeah, the Yuzums.
What are these? Are these aliens that we see later?
Hin and Key?
No, I mean, like, not named, but I mean, like, they're specific species.
I Googled them to just, like, what I thought they were based on their description was, like, one of the creatures maybe from the chess game.
Sure.
They're not. They're, like, Wookiees on steroids. They're just, like, half Wookiee, half werewolf. Like, yeah, these just, things are, just, like...
I kind of, like, the small soldiers them.
Thing.
Yeah.
They're tight.
They look like... You know how, like, everybody says Chewbacca is, like, a Bigfoot?
Yes.
Well, this guy's like really a Bigfoot.
They're like,
yeah, some, you know how Bigfoot have they have pecs of like leather or whatever the fuck.
Well, these guys, and even the art that David says up right now,
they're otter gorillas.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, they skip leg day kind of vibes. Yeah,
they're like hairy orcs.
They min max the upper body.
Yeah. So Hin and Key are the two. I love them. We don't really know anything about it other than that Luke like, this speaks Yuz somehow.
Yeah, he speaks a little bit of it.
That's, I mean, fine, I'll take it, but like they are like kissing him by the end of this conversation. And it turns out that they came to work for the Empire because they're big creatures and they have a lot of strength and stuff.
Yeah.
But they kind of got disillusioned and rebelled, and so they've been in jail, but they're like bruisers, so they don't really
know what to do with them. They're like the kind of thing where they're like, they don't work on Imperial hours. Like they don't. You can't like force them to work shifts. They're like, they don't gel with that.
Right.
Yeah. It's really, really excellent. And so it's just like, hey, we got some bruisers. They're here. It's like great news for them. I don't know why they would put them in a cell with these guys. It doesn't make any sense that they would like let them team up and break out together, but they do.
Speaking of breaking out, do they break out with a like food tray?
Yeah.
Do they basically just like someone breaking a video game?
Yeah.
Like if you walk towards the wall with this.
They use the fucking gravity gun from fucking Half-Life. Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So basically, they were worried that they were already going to be dead. And he's like, oh, good, you're not dead. I guess those guys didn't kill you like I thought they were. Anyway, the general's coming, so get ready. And that's when Leia's like, oh, shit, are we going to get fucking interrogated? And she said that it felt like black worms crawling through her brain, which is pretty fucked up.
But it lends weight to Han in Empire.
Dude, he sounds like he is getting murdered.
Well, they let us hear it in that, and we never hear what happens to Leia.
No, but so she I think does that's, have burns. Yeah,
yeah.
So Grammel's like, well, if you think that's bad, why don't you tell me some stuff so that I can like get some like sort of like status over this guy when he shows up, so I have some cards in my deck when we do our Game of Thrones thing. But Luke's like, get the fuck out of here, and so they leave and. They get feeding time, like where the little slot opens on their door and the food comes through. But then Hala, because the jail cell has a fucking window for some reason, Hala shows up at the window and she's standing on like a ledge. It seems like based on what I imagine, I gotta be honest. I'm thinking of a very specific illustration of a character called Vima Daboda from Dathomir. I believe is what she's from. And she's in one of the Star Wars books. And that is the illustration that comes to my mind whenever I think of Hala is like this frail, old, wrinkly lady is what I'm thinking of. And so picturing her like finding her way into this fortress by herself and like floating on a ledge, it's very like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon to me.
Sure.
I'm very charmed by it.
What sucks is as you say all this, knowing how this story ends, it's so weird.
Right. So basically, they're like, we don't know what we're going to do, but the reason that she's there is to team up with Luke to together levitate a food tray over a sensor down the hall.
Food tray. I can't believe this is their out. It's crazy to me.
Yeah, I feel like they could have just done this with throwing after a while.
They could have done so many different things, and this is their plan.
He got to use the force. There's always some way to get the keys or do a thing.
Yeah, but Hala's like, hey, great. Now you're out, so I got to go, but meet me like down over here and bring the Yuzum with you because they're going to like bust everybody's ass up. And they're like, okay, great. So basically, this is the time now that the door's open that the Yuzum just like rip dudes' arms off, turn them into like what I forget exactly what it is, but it's like then they went and looked. There's like a quote in the book of some kind where they're like, and then they go back and look at what the Yuzums did, and it's like stormtrooper armor and flesh and blood in a pile or something like that.
Yeah, it's kind of like in the first book how they like have some very grisly descriptions. I guess because I don't know, like. They didn't write it for kids. It's like a sci-fi book. They're like, yeah, they like fuck them up.
Yeah. We had Ted do the outline for this, and he said, the Yuzum rampage with reckless abandon, killing troopers, droids, a trooper with a droid, and one of the troopers killed had Luke's saber, so Key returns it to him.
Yeah.
Nothing went wrong. Everybody died who was bad, and they got out of this.
It's a great like video game where like you need to get your equipment back after you've been like kidnapped, and you're like, oh, the guy that he did it for us.
Yeah. That's so good. So Grammel starts to hear what's going on. Hin and Key are literally dismembering people, throwing body pieces into the walls. It's getting fucking crazy. Luke finds a guy who has bombs on him, and he just like. Walter White like throws that shit at the wall, blows off the wall, and they like leave, and they're like, sick, we're out. And they meet up with Hala and the droids who were patiently waiting in their like fucking wherever they like in a corner somewhere. They just were fine the whole time.
Dude, this is like not the first time that like C-3PO and R2-D2 are here and they have like their little moments of banter, but they are so less
impactful.
Yeah. And there are times where I think that they just forgot like they can't be in the scene because of what they are, but they just like, there's like unaccounted for times where you're like, I guess she's there with Hala, or I guess they were somewhere, but.
It does save on having to explain what you do with a droid when you're arrested. right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, just it like, makes oh, sense. She took the droids.
It's yeah. like, yeah, it's them. Like hiding something when you got to cross a border or something, right?
Yeah.
But so they get in this vehicle, they like sneak and they get this thing called a mud crawler. And it seems like it's a piece of shit and that Hala does not know how to drive it, but I guess that's what they settle with and it's fine. But the way they describe it, it seems like they're going to die like any minute. But they got to drive
but
for
they
like.
They don't because they drive for like a week.
Yeah, a week straight. But then when they find out that Asada's coming, when Hala finds out that Asada's coming, she's like, what? No, fuck. Okay, fuck. I'm out. I don't want to get no governor of the fucking area involved. And they're like, no. But listen, this is important. You could like save the world with this. So let's. If there's a weapon of mass destruction of the Force. Like hidden here, we need to get it. And she's like, fucking fine. Here's some guns. And they're like, thanks. And Luke's like, I'm going to take the battery from this gun.
I love this.
And I'm going to charge my daddy's lightsaber with it.
It's like they stop to like point out that he's like, oh, wait, before we go. Yeah, he like tops off his lightsaber. And I just love the idea of like every night before bed, all the Jedi plug it in their lightsabers like fucking cell phones. Just so they don't get low lightsaber battery the next day.
That'd be awkward during a fight. Yeah. You never know.
So Grammel got hurt when they were leaving the base.
Didn't they do it? They kind of play off like a joke where it's like, you know, like you throw a grenade, but it's like a massive explosion. Right, right. It's like, it like fucked up a lot of people,
yeah.
including him, and they have like a scene where they explain,
yeah.
like grafting
his flesh hand, and his stuff. Bone, his tendons, his skin, just like Luke's hand, except a real hand being put back together, and a lot of other body parts. Like this nurse comes in and basically like saves his life, and he's like, "Thank you, nurse," and she's like, "Hey, listen, you're a bastard, but since I saved you, can you please like." Not kill the guys who lived because they were trying their fucking best, even though there was an escape. And he's like, all right, fine. And so that happens. And then 6 days pass.
Doesn't he kill them? I thought, or does he let them live?
I can't remember what he does, but that's what the nurse asks him.
It was like such a moment that felt like, oh, we're showing like how evil he is, but we already...
Like
have been with him for a while.
Yeah. Get it. Yeah. And he's not even that evil. Like he's like just kind of like a baby boy Imperial. He doesn't really.
He's
kind of
like any.
He's a little rat faced little bastard who wants to get beat up for his lunch money is what he feels like to me.
Yeah.
Yo, I fucking hate fascists, bro. But yeah. So now we're back on the surface. The whole party is together now finally. And they're like, where the fuck is this? And she's like, shut up. It said it was a week away. We're almost there. So. She's like, I don't know exactly how far it is, so just deal with it.
If there's any monsters out here, hopefully they won't attack us.
Yeah. And then the literal floor in front of them gets up off the floor and looks at them, and they realize that for like the last little bit, they've been driving on the back of a monster, and they back up really quick like a Disneyland ride, and they're like, oh, shit.
Does have like a Indiana Jones ride.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Everybody's like, oh, fuck, and it turns out to be the Wanderella, which is a giant worm that has like spider eyes on its face.
The description like is sucks. It sucks. I hate this thing.
It kind of sounds like a sandworm.
I Googled it because I'm like, what is this thing supposed to look like? And then I'm like, ah, the sandworm.
The sandworm right. from Dune. You could just literally look at a picture of that and it would be this.
But then stick spider eyes on it, like a ton of spider eyes.
Yeah. It eats the mud crawler completely. And they all just like get split up. So Luke and Leia run away in one direction and everybody else goes in another direction.
Well, because Hala's like, yo, we'll meet you. You guys go underground.
Well, they're like, they get split up because of the worm. So they get chased into the hole first.
Yeah. And she's like, don't worry. Yeah. You guys stay down there. We'll meet you further down the line.
Yeah.
And then Luke and Leia go on like this a lovely like adventure.
Another way to just like get the droids not there and like get them alone.
They literally go on a pseudo swan boat ride.
Dude, they play electroplankton.
Yeah.
It's like, they like do the shit where like each different like thing makes a noise and he hits it. And I'm like, this is so 70s. Yeah. I love this.
Yeah. So this thing like chases them for a really long time and they like get to this like bottomless hole and they descend into it and they find a place to hide and it tries to get to them and like falls to its death in the hole. The creature does.
Idiot.
And, it falls for like a really long time too. So it's like, you know,
Gandalf's down there, right?
Yeah, movie storytelling. Like, wow, that's a far drop. And then they hug.
I wonder if this will come back in play later.
They get like there's like a sexually tense hug at one point.
I'm Worm the White.
Yeah. And,
just call me.
they realize that they're hugging and they have this moment where they're like, maybe we shouldn't let go. Oh, no, no, we should. And so then that's when Hala finds them and is like, hey, you guys stay down there, go this way.
Right, yes.
And then they find out that the shaft was made by this alien group that we've met only a few times that's kind of related to a group that's above ground that's like alcoholics. And they're like a native group called
the Greenies that they call?
Yeah, they're called
Koways?
They're called the Koways. And they're like a subterranean, like mole men type species of it, like proud warriors.
If only those proud warriors could help in the end.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be great if they could do.
When we meet them, the ones that like wander up, they become like alcohol, like they like debase themselves for alcohol. It's like sad, and I think it's got more than a few like real world analogs they're going for there.
I'm pretty sure they're not even the original occupants. I'm pretty sure they're like occupying a city from somebody called the Thrella. That like
the built, ancient,
like yeah, like the forerunners that like built it.
Well, they also in the Star Wars novelization, don't they talk about the Temple of Yavin?
Yes,
being like there's sort of this like forerunner,
the Masasi,
like an implied for like these both have this idea of like before the humans that are running the galaxy, there's this like ancient, no one knows. Advanced in their own cultures.
Have you read the old, like, we're going to get there, obviously, but have you read the old Star Wars, like, comics of like old stuff, like thousands of years before this? Those comics?
Is that the one where they have, like, the lightsaber with the little
backpack and shit?
I have not read those.
Dude, you're in for a trip.
Is that?
You're in for a trip.
Is that what this is?
You're going to start getting answers.
You like, the stuff that you're talking about.
Is it going to be, like, a bunch of splinters in my mind's eye?
The stuff that you're talking about, like, you're going to find, like, I think by the end of this, you're going to love Darth Plagueis as much as like people online pretend they love Darth Plagueis.
Exar Kun, all those guys.
I know Exar Kun. I like him.
Nomi Sunrider is another one.
Oh my God. So many good ones.
Sunrider is such a like hilarious
Nothing
name.
Gets your boy Davis's Kyber Crystal a-gleaming more than like anything with like an ancient Forerunner technology. I'm like.
Yeah, you're
into it.
Oh, but a flaming sword is. Even more than a...
That's true, but that's like a different situation.
Okay, yeah,
one's
like a bedroom thing, the other one's like...
Oh, yeah, no, flaming
storytelling. Yeah, I got it. So they're like in this passageway for days. They find that they are able to see because there's like lichen that kind of is bioluminescent, so that's good. So they don't need to like figure out how they're going to do light.
Straight up, even though it's not a swan...
Crystals as oars. They're using Fron for a
boat. Yeah, they're like lily pad boats. It is a beautiful, like, we're going to definitely kiss. Like, it's a kiss the girl moment.
Yeah, it really is. Leia almost falls in a hole and Luke saves her.
Kiss your sis.
Kiss your sis is a terrible name. And then they get through the like hole bit and they get to a lake and this is where they're like, oh shit, there's this big lake. So we're going to have to try and get around it, but it's too deep. So they make a big lily pad boat.
Lily pad boat.
And he uses his lightsaber to like cut some oars and, they row for like fucking hours.
Like, yeah. Like something following them or something.
There's sea monsters.
There's a big gelatinous water creature.
Yeah, there's something in the water.
The description was like so sick and like, I mean, Lovecraft. But, like it was like a weird like couldn't amorphous like cool thing.
Luke but, like ends up.
Wasn't
in the
it
water.
Like following them before? Or was it just here that it happened?
He sees the shape and then it like attacks them eventually. And like he pulls his lightsaber out in the water and he's trying to get him.
This is like our first. Underwater lightsaber thing.
Yeah,
it's the second thing. So it's like, you know, lightsabers can go underwater.
We get our first, but it happens a couple times. Lightsaber throws in this one. Yeah.
Dude, there's some crazy force stuff that happens in this.
Now that now that you mention the scenario that happens here, just the only way to look at this is through the eye of a Star Wars one-shot RPG that you're playing, like a D&D
exactly
thing.
That's exactly what it is.
They straight up start, like, you've crash-landed, and now you start at a bar.
Yeah, it's a module.
I never thought of it, but also especially because, like, Luke has to, like, the party has to, like, BS their way.
Yes.
In ways that, like, before, there wasn't really D&Ding. It was like, Obi-Wan was doing the shit, and then other stuff was happening, but here, like, they have to like plan their actions
their skills,
as a group and they have to like do them. It is very,
very deep.
So Leia's like really fucked up and Luke's like, what's up? I'm fine. Don't worry. And she's like, I couldn't fucking swim this whole time. And he's like, whoa, that's crazy.
Is this the part or later where she just literally like screams.
Yeah, that's like when
30 seconds
when she
and
screams,
then goes quiet.
When she screams is when Luke's in the water and stuff, and then he's like, what's up? And she's like, I don't know how to swim. Which, not that dope of, like, I don't know, like, she's not in danger at that point.
I don't think that that's really the thing, though.
I like, know.
They keep doing the PTSD. I assume it's like all just...
It doesn't really
like her not even knowing what she's reacting to.
It doesn't really
to.
Come to a head. It's just kind of like stuff that's happening with Leia in this.
But it does give you an idea if this was the trend of the movies.
Right.
Her as a character would have been very interesting by the third.
Like a damn it, like a war, like a Saw Gerrera Princess
Leia. Like, it could have been a fantastic way to take her character instead of just like, I'm still very sassy. Like a sort of broken character would have been interesting.
Swans. But like a more earned.
Sure. Yeah.
So they, after like more hours of rowing, they finally get to the other side. They get to the Thrella city that's like abandoned, but the Kawe are living there. Luke like kills this dude. Like he kills a Kawe immediately. And Leia like grabs an axe from a dead guy.
Is this where he like throws the lightsaber?
Yes, I think so. I think he does. Or maybe I can't remember if it's in this fight or in the last fight.
Somewhere around here in my notes, I just wrote that, like, first lightsaber throw, and then, like, hilarious because then he had to go run and pick it up.
Yeah,
it was,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
It was like before they just, like, came back. So it's just like, ha! Got it.
So
that was so cool.
Luke kills.
Did you see that? Yes, I saw it, Luke. Oh, it was so cool.
Luke and Leia kill, like, all these guys except one dude, and they chase him, and they get to this, like, town square, like the real, because there's like an abandoned part of the town and they like go over a ridge or whatever.
And then there's
like,
the real town square with all the people.
Like, yeah, there's like 200 people living here. There's a pond, there's a bonfire, and everybody else is there too. They're fine. And they're like, hey, how'd you guys get here? And they're like, I don't know. We got like captured or whatever. And also, Hala speaks the language of this ancient subterranean race, so we're good. And she knows all their.
One person in the party
knows all
has
their,
that.
She knows all their culture and stuff, so we're good. And so she's talking to them, and they're not mad because they like believe in death as like part of life. So dude, the fact that they killed these people, they're like, no, you guys are like just better warriors, so that's you shouldn't feel bad about that. And they're saying like honestly, like they shouldn't have stepped on you so hard because you seem like a badass. So that's on them.
the whole Koe thing here feels very proto Ewok.
Yes.
Like that one of them speaks it and they understand it, but like they're. A whole ambivalence towards death is another narrative convenience because they can be the villains, then they're gonna like be friends, and then if you just need an army on
they're
the
there.
Spot, they're like, fuck it, yeah, we'll be an army. It's like a hilariously beautiful like narrative device.
Yeah, so he has to fight this other guy, Kanu, who's like one of the Kawe's like best warriors, to like he's like, we'll be your allies, but you gotta do our like cultural thing of like one-on-one
like,
one combat.
Like our champion versus your champion. If we win, we eat you.
Yeah. It's like some shit like that. So they're fighting in the water and they're like no weapons. And Luke is like dead ass drowning. And
he puts up like a decent.
They fight like Metal Gear Solid style, like just like sweaty dudes in the water, ankle deep water fighting. And then the guy gets on him and is literally on top of him, strangling the life out of him in the water. And then something inconceivable happens in Luke's perception of events, and suddenly he's coming out of the water and the Kanu guy is down because apparently Luke threw a rock at his head. And I'm not 100% sure what happened here. I don't know if it was like supposed to be like an act of God where like...
Oh, I thought it was the
force. Yeah, I thought he used the force.
I'm aware that it's
in
the force.
In their fight, he was like reaching for the rock.
Sure.
And then they like write it from his perspective where he just like...
But it's like he did...
He's about to black out, gets up. And then Leia's like, oh, it was so cool. That was like, I didn't know you were that crafty, like pretending to drown. And then you threw a rock at him.
Yeah, but
that was crazy.
It's just wild because the way they write it, it doesn't make it clear whether Luke did it on conscious or like whether.
But it's also from Luke's POV.
But because he doesn't know. I think it's
that's what I mean. It's kind of a fun like. I'm just merely
maybe
pointing
he fell,
out. That, I'm just merely pointing out that the force is not as well defined as it eventually becomes, and the fact that he's not sure whether he did it or the force did it is like. A very cool way of looking at the force that
I see what you're saying.
I don't think Jedi think about
as
it
like a living
dude,
force.
Actually, what you're talking about ties into some stuff that happens like with Vader later. Like in general, there, it's really interesting to be in this era pre-power creep where, like,
yeah,
the Force users are like,
well, we'll talk about power creep.
Sure, like, there's a big moment, but, like, most of the stuff that they do is, like, just slightly advanced, like, heightened humans, not, like, full-on superhero. But, like, when Leia's trying to, like, snipe Vader, he kind of, like, it's, like, the same thing where it's, like, he dodges, but is it, like, conscious or, like,
the power,
the universe, yeah, like, manipulating around it to,
and
like,
I think there's something to that going forward that, like, I think something that's going to be interesting to track as we go through this, because we get far from the Skywalkers in the Legends universe. We get out there with the Force in this world.
Sure. Like,
I'm very interested to see how the Force and representations of it evolve and change as we, like, get more movies and more interest in the expanded Star Wars universe. I think that's, like, one of the big things to track. So the dude doesn't die. He's just, like, bodied. And it turns out that in this culture, like, when somebody comes up to you and smacks you as hard as they can, if you smack them back, you guys are, like, blood brothers forever. So that's what they
do.
So
now they're best friends, yeah.
And they have a big feast, and they're like, this food is gross, which is, like, a type of scene from the 80s that they always have in movies. But in this case, you know, they talked about it earlier when they're eating the cubes, so it totally pays off. Then the feast wraps up. Hala is like,
there is, I didn't think about it until you're like putting it out there, but like there are three distinct,
yeah,
food description scenes.
The food is weird. Yeah. And that's a big thing.
And I don't know if this definitely 100% came out before Indiana Jones, but
yeah,
Leia has like strong Marion vibes.
Oh yeah.
The entire time.
100%. So they're having a feast, and then he gets like a weird freak out because he senses Vader. And he's like, wait, Vader.
He feels a stirring.
Yeah. And he's like, Lord, oh my God. Vader. And he like drops what he was eating or whatever. And everybody's like, what? And then he's like, uh-oh, there's like a scout rolls in who's like, guys, you wouldn't believe this, but there's a bunch of bad guys outside. And he like falls down or whatever. And then home court advantage, they like prep. Leia's like,
they like immediately like, yeah, we will all lay our lives on the line for you guys.
That's the deal he made. He hit that dude with a rock or whatever. Blood brothers for life.
But also, this isn't like Vader from the movie.
No.
Where he's every like third scene is a Vader scene.
They're like, oh shit, that bad guy from the last scene.
Remember
the
guy who spun out last time? Yeah. He's back.
He's back.
That's just crazy.
But that's kind of how they do it in the movie too. They're like, oh yeah, Vader lived. But Leia, it goes hardcore, and she's like, no, this is it. If I go down, if this is it, like, I'm killing myself.
No, she was like, you have to promise to kill me.
Yeah.
Like, if you care, if we can't get out of this, you don't let him take me alive.
She goes hardcore. All the scouts are taken out by the Kauai, and then the Kauai start grabbing the guns, giving them to, like, the people who know how to use guns. He uses one of the guns again to fully charge his lightsaber, which I believe
that sets a precedent. Yeah,
he needs a lot of energy for his lightsaber. And I don't,
well, if you look at this as like a D&D campaign, this is like a long rest.
Yeah.
This,
yeah,
is like, he establishing needs it, yeah, that he gets his sword.
If you can find a blaster, you don't need a long rest before you can use your lightsaber again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then the next
those trooper, spell slots though.
The next trooper wave comes in. The armor is like, it's very much like an Ewok situation where it's like dark and they have the right
sticks.
It's
like Ewoks, but again, these are like
ninja
muscle dudes.
Ninja Ewoks, yeah.
So like, it's like believable, and it's in, it's like underground. Like, it's all set for a much, the Ewoks seem good.
Cool, I mean, but it makes you wonder if the Ewoks originally would have been these, and then they were like, we gotta sell toys.
They were originally gonna be Wookiees.
Wookiees is like the urban legend. It might be true, but like, for my whole life, I've always been led to believe that it was supposed to be the Wookiees.
Well, we'll get into it. We'll get it. I mean, here's the thing. As this show goes on, we're going to start reading the Star Wars Insider too.
I'm excited
and
for that.
There's some wild like promises made in that magazine. There's some wild lore that is discussed in that magazine. Pretty like willy-nilly.
Like J.K. Rowling's Twitter?
It's like, no.
Sorry. Before all the problematic stuff. Do you remember when she used to like tweet shit like, yep, the wizards used to just piss themselves.
Yeah, they used to poop and
they would just teleport the poop away.
I realize saying J.K. Rowling's Twitter now means something totally different. But before, when she was that level of dumb, you know, yeah. Anyways.
I get what you're saying. So then Luke's like, Vader! And Vader's like, what? And Leia, like, that's when Leia. Dude,
Vader just speaks so different. Like, this Vader is, like, wild. Yeah,
Leia's, like, while he's looking at Luke, Leia, like, lines up her blaster and, like, gives, like, wounds him, like, shoots him pretty much in the fucking, like the same place Rambo gets shot in First Blood or in Rambo 2. Where it's like right in the like
sure belly the side. It's painful but I'll still live some meat. Shot yeah
yeah she got some meat and then Vader's like fuck you and he gives Luke the like I'll get you later you bitch and they just leave and that's it
Vader they do like leaves. A retreat right isn't that like they're just getting like
they just turn tail and leave completely including Vader and Luke tells the other people that his force sense is like. He's saying that his force sense is telling him that Vader's force sense is also pulling him to the crystal, so they need to get to that fucking crystal. They get to the surface. The Kauai are there, and they hijack a crawler. The Yuuzhan are like, did you forget about us, brother? And they, like, get inside the thing and, like, mush the guys inside
they into a pulp. It reminds me of, like, taking over the AT...
Yeah.
Bestie.
And so then we cut back to Grandma, who's like, Lord Vader, as you know, I wouldn't. And he just brow and kills him and pushes him off a cliff, which is like amazing. And then they're at the Pomojima Temple and Vader's not there. So that's good. And they find Pomojima, a statue of Pomojima, god of the Kyber, which in a world where Kyber crystals are the crystals from lightsabers, pretty wild. Like, I don't know if that's – I don't know what the timeline is on lightsaber lore.
Well, it's spelled differently. It's like K-A-I-B-U-R.
Yeah. So it's a little different, but it's definitely the origin of that phrase.
It is like – yeah, so interesting to see these like – it's not like two different people were like, oh, you thought of Kyber as a crystal? Totally. It's like – yeah, this they were like, how can we like bend this?
Right.
Because here it's like the most powerful crystal, but there it's just like – every lightsaber has
them. So I just wanted to verify this on Wikipedia. Pomojima. For those of you who are like, well, what does Pomojima look like? This is the descriptor of Pomojima. Sticking with Davis's Eldritch stuff. Humanoid with leathery wings, claws, and a tentacled face.
Oh, yeah. Isn't it like a fucking...
It's a Cthulhu.
It's yeah.
Dead ass.
That's crazy that is in here.
They called him Eldritch. Like, they're dark... like black irony kind of like stuff. This tickled the little boy inside of me.
It's fascinating. That's where they went with the stuff. But it makes sense if you think of like just elder beings in the universe. That's fascinating.
It is like sci-fi. Like they're aliens. So it's just like all of these things, they're built on top of like ancient civilizations that seem both primitive, like because didn't they describe the Yavin Temple as like they're like, we don't even know how the fuck they made this. Like it's
yeah.
Not like technology, but it's like whatever.
But it's the same. It's the exact same thing as when you talk to people about temples and buildings and stuff on Earth.
Oh, no.
Right?
Aliens.
I mean, obviously. But like, it's one of those things where people are like, we don't know how they made this. But it probably is slavery. But still, like, you know, it's fascinating to see that transposed here. And then them also to take straight up literal Cthulhu mythos and just throw it in Star Wars.
Also,
wild.
Also, I just want to throw this out here. Andor, you know when he joins as a teen?
Yeah.
He sees some shit.
And he's...
That's the fucking Mimbanese Liberation Army, my dude.
What?
No.
No.
The first two episodes?
Like when he joins up and he's... The thing that's happened between him being a kid and him being Andor?
Yes.
Yeah. That's
you confirmed that just now. Is that what you were doing?
He's like, his entire life is tied
completely. When he's working with his mom?
Yeah. Mimban.
Shut up.
Do I need to like watch this show?
Dude, it's so good.
I know you hate Star Wars and stuff, but you should watch it because it's really just good. But that aside, we're at the temple. Another big monster shows up. Luke like cuts. This is like the fastest fight ever. Luke cuts a pillar with the lightsaber, which smashes the monster's head. They win. And Luke gets buried under because the pillar like does more damage than he expects. Luke gets buried. Leia pulls him out. The Yuuzhan are gone, even though they would have been really useful. And then turns out Vader killed him. And he's like, they're dead. They're like, where are the Yuuzhan? And he's like, I killed them. So,
but the droids, they were turned off.
Yeah, they were hiding in a corner. So Leia picks up Luke's lightsaber because now Vader's there. Leia's got the lightsaber. Luke's stuck under some rocks, and Hala's like trying to deal with the crystal. So then finally, the mortally wounded Yuuzhan show up to get Luke out from under the rock. Luke goes over and tries to save Leia, who's getting like literally chopped up by Vader, who chops her face and her chest with a lightsaber.
Dude, yeah. This is like a sadistic. This is like Vader is like not James Earl Jones. Like this dude like tortures. It's like a weird. His energy in this is like, whoa, you like. Something happened.
He says he's Ben Kenobi, right? Luke does? Or he like focuses Ben Kenobi's energy into his body when he gets the lightsaber back. And
talks about his father's like
I forget exactly what he says, but
I have it highlight.
But basically this is where it becomes like the last act of like a Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, he supercharges. He becomes like extra powerful.
They supercharge. Luke's able to like counter like Ganondorf. He's able to like counter.
You know what Vader. It is? It's the end of, oh God, I even don't want to think about it. It's Rise of Skywalker.
No, this is him clearing his mind. Because Leia, what? Don't worry about me, Luke. Vader appeared to inhale deeply. No, Skywalker, don't worry about her. Worry about yourself. And it said Luke felt a wild sense of elation as he brandished his father's weapon. I'm not worried about anything, Vader. Not now. I have no worries and only one concern. I'm going to kill you, Darth Vader.
That's like so... That's like, Vader, you complete asshole.
Oh, wait.
He does say it, right?
He's like, the humor... What a high opinion you hold of yourself, Skywalker. I'm Ben Kenobi. Luke whispered in an odd way.
Yeah.
Like, for a moment, Vader seemed shaken.
See what I'm saying?
Kenobi's dead. I killed him myself. You are a simple Luke Skywalker, an ex-farm boy from Tatooine. You are no master of the Force and the equal of Ben Kenobi. You will never be. I do love the way it's written. It's a little cheesy.
The
but
question
I like,
is like the question I'm having is like, was that
Ben Kenobi
for
is
a
with
moment?
Me, Vader,
was
Luke
it
snarled,
Ben?
And the Force is with me too.
Was it Ben speaking through Luke's mouth for a second? Like, is that how the Force works in this world?
Well, it's. I feel like it's one of those like end of Rise of Skywalker when like they did that bit.
Yeah,
I feel like it must be that.
Well, that's what I mean. Though I think it's
or
not
he's being
so...
snarky. Like I am standing up to you just like Ben did.
I just mean like
I don't know.
I don't think it's so. Concrete as that. I just think that you're supposed to have a sort of mystical feeling from Luke to question whether
he does have Ben Kenobi moments, but like in the movies it seems pretty clear that it's like another Ben go to Dagobah. Here it's like he's remembering like I think you might be on it where it's
like maybe he's downloaded it
like
or something.
Kenobi's like it's Ben speaking to him, but it's like it's also in, he's, I think there, it's like,
I think there's something, I think
that.
It's, yeah, that undefined force. So then Vader throws a rock at Luke and Luke forces a small rock to like knock the rock out of the sky. And then Vader makes like a literal spirit bomb out of nothing and throws it at Luke. And Luke,
by the way, this isn't exaggeration.
I'm not even, this is not me.
You want some quotes?
This is not me.
Yes.
I want to be clear. This is not me just being a pop culture jokester and like smoothing over what happened.
This is a wild fight.
I was so hype.
Yeah.
I couldn't. I was like, I literally was like, woo, in my house. It was insane. Because the fights in this book were, I actually liked them a lot because they were very like, they reminded me a lot of like Luke fighting Boba Fett in the comics.
Sure.
Like pretty grounded.
That was such a
pretty,
sick fight. Yeah.
Like a lot of times you get very choreographed and then especially like Empire Strikes Back, it's like Luke just kind of barely getting by.
Yeah.
This one was like, and then we're going to leave that fucking shit behind because it's time for fucking space ninjas.
Yeah.
Like, it got wild.
Yeah.
Swinging his saber until it was no more than a blue blur in the dank air of the temple. He leapt straight up into the air. It was more than a jump, less than a levitation. Out of the blue circle of energy, he flung a saber. So this is Vader leap flying into the air, throwing his lightsaber. I'm going to skip the part where it bounces off. As Vader drifted slowly back to the floor, he grabbed his right wrist with his left hand, made a fist, and seemed to convulse like a man retching. A ball of pure white energy, the size of his fist, materialized in front Shit.
It's like mage battles.
Yeah, truly like the two wizards
of Vader's hands and moved down towards wide-eyed Luke. Something made Luke realize he could never reach his saber before the white globe touched him. He threw up both hands and looked away, so he didn't see what happened. His hands seemed to blur. The white globe struck them, bounced back, and contacted Vader.
You get that same Vader,
gently,
like,
oh. It's literally the Ganon. Yeah, as the ladder touched the ground. There was a soft crack as of an explosion
Vader
far in the distance.
Vader is available to be hit for 6 hits, and then he gains his powers back.
Vader was knocked head over heels, and the globe vanished.
It really reminds me of when Vader gets hit in Empire, and he, like, flies and goes, oh!
But when the white energy ball had touched Luke's hands, the power inherent in the Kinetite is what they call it,
yeah.
Or restrained energy globe.
Sure.
Had thrown him to the ground. Had he resisted unsuccessfully, it would have thrown him across the chamber and through the temple wall.
It's literally D&D wizard rules. It's crazy.
I reread that because I'm like, they tell you, like, he grabbed his left hand with his right arm and he pulled it in like he was retching.
Yeah.
And then fired a white ball.
Like Mega Man, dead ass.
And he was just like, ugh.
And then Luke fucking runs over and cuts Vader's fucking arm off with the saber in it. And then Vader picks up his other arm with his arm and grabs the lightsaber out of it. And he's about to go kill Luke, and then he falls down a hole and disappears.
Yep. Disappears, and Luke is like, killed that bitch. And then he's like, oh, but wait.
He's like, no, I didn't, but I'm safe.
Yeah. Yeah.
The most bullshit thing. It gets like he blasts off again, basically. Like
Team Rockets. Yeah. Which is actually pretty funny because every time we see him, he blasts off again.
They do have like a sick, after the like Kinetite explosion, they have like a samurai thing where they both like grab their things for one like, and they're even like, there was like a single flash of light. And then like after, that's when they realized that he hit Vader.
Yeah.
And then, he had like the Terminator.
Because
then they start to be like, fuck, we can't win. We're dead. We'll never beat him. And then
he just falls. Yeah. And then Luke like drags himself over to Leia and they both, their broken bodies, they like sleep together, laying together. And then
Hala, I was about to say,
they don't like fuck, but yeah. Hala grabs the crystal and she like touches Luke with the crystal and like he sits up and he's like, I died. Like, what the fuck? I died. And that's crazy. And then suddenly they, like, both are healed, Luke and Leia.
Crystal powers.
Because the crystal magically healed them.
Kyber, baby.
And literally 2 seconds later, the book ends. Hala's like, hey, I'll just come back with you to Sarkarperis.
But one last thing. I'll come back with you, but one last thing.
Yeah.
This does have, like, old movie vibes where, like,
yeah.
All right. Once the conflict's over, we're done. Movie's over.
And they just turn the droids back on and they just leave.
So yeah, they were like, this is the funny part is they get back there and he's like, we're sorry. He knew all of our codes and stuff. Like they just turned him off. And I was like, is that because he
built him?
I was like, this is the kind of line where somebody that really was like, no, they're all connected. Look, in Spoon of the Mind's Eye, it's pretty clear.
That's like the game theory vibe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is Splinter of the Mind's Eye, which I thought honestly was fucking a delight and just the perfect like trash can baby Star Wars half formed like idea of Star Wars. Such a delight to see a half step forward for Star Wars before they went to Empire, which pretty much everybody agrees is like the best Star Wars thing.
It's incredible.
And this is like the alternate, like not ready for primetime version. And I think that is just so hilarious.
The idea of, I don't know if you said this on the podcast or you were just telling me this, but about it being like a truck stop or like an airport pickup is like a perfect description. If you're just like, it's a quick read. It has all of the like fun elements.
It's just a little Star
Action
Wars
adventure.
It's a little hint of Star Wars.
Yeah, you don't have to like know too much.
You could never have watched a Star Wars movie and this would be just as valuable to you. Like there's nothing there's no character development here at all. It's just a little Luke and Leia joint. It's like a little side story.
Apparently Mimbam is used in the Yuuzhan Vong storyline.
Oh really?
I had no clue.
I mean, I read that once when I was like a 15-year-old, 12-year-old or something. So I don't remember that. But yeah, Andor, baby. Mimbam. Get ready. Next time on the show, anybody have anything else they want to say about this real quick?
I'm just scrolling through my notes. They reference methanol rolls, which I...
Is that like a...
It's like cigarette?
Yeah.
Like, I just was like, oh, that's like a much better name than Death Stick.
Death Sticks are lit, okay? You get high off Death Sticks, okay?
Are those drugs?
Yeah, Death Sticks are tight.
Okay.
Death Sticks are for cool people, like Mouse from The Matrix. Yeah, it's him.
Did they change things between the comics and the book?
The Splinter of the Mind's Eye comic?
Because the book ends very quickly. The book is like, and then they all left together at the end.
Yeah.
The idea was like, I guess Hala's now going to be a new...
Here's the thing, though. According to the Wikipedia page for Hala...
Yeah.
This is how her story ends on here. Because I was like, yeah, I wonder if they wrote anything about Hala in there. And yeah, that's how it ends. It says, she then left Mimbin with Luke and Leia to join the Rebel Alliance, though not before admitting to Luke that rather than being a master of the Force, she was really a faker and a charlatan, capable of doing parlor tricks, but little more. Luke and Leia, however, didn't mind. Which I think is how they write her out of not being in the rest of the movies?
I guess. Like, maybe she just...
She said something similar in the books, but she didn't admit to lying. She was just like, I am not as powerful
at the top.
You.
At yeah. the top, she cops to being.
Yeah. Yeah, like way in the beginning. This is like at the end, she says. So I might have to look because I've never, that's on her bio. I don't know what that's from.
That's wild. Yeah, I don't know.
A couple things. One, this is the first time they actually use in reference the saber lengthening feature. I think that's how they break in to get the uniforms.
Yep.
I just shout out to that, like, long... They don't really use that much, but it's kind of fun to think, you know what? Sometimes you need a little blade. Sometimes you need a long
blade. This wasn't even a year after the movie dropped, and they're already doing saber extenders and underwater and saber throwing and all that shit.
Because it's one of those things you want to see.
And you, like, what's going to happen if it's in there? Also, like, can't you do, like, road flares underwater and they still burn?
Alex and I know we were both like, I don't know.
So that's cool. They dive into, because I just really loved Leia in this book. They dive into, I can't remember which scene it is, kind of her backstory. And she's like, she explains that she got into politics because of art. She was a princess and she was so goddamn bored all the time. And she was like, why the fuck isn't there anything interesting?
And then Obi-Wan, that's how she was like,
oh, it's a totalitarian government. They like stifle original thought and creativity. And that's like, because she noticed there was like nothing of value artistically, that like led her down. And I was like,
that's what radicalized me, baby.
Art?
Oh yeah.
It is that not like true of a lot of like people? Sure. You're like,
there's a reason why the liberals are always the artists.
But there's also a reason why Thrawn is such a great villain, because he uses that against them.
Yeah, Thrawn. Okay, we'll get into Thrawn.
Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for OG Thrawn. I'm so excited. It did
have like, I'm like, yeah, like there's Thrawn and then like Rebels. Like, it's just cool that the idea of art being connected to it.
Yes, yeah.
Come all the way back here.
But before we get to those excellent things, we have some very strange things coming before that on the horizon.
What could you mean?
Up next on the Star Wars Old Canon Book Club for you guys, we have first something, probably the most infamous strange Star Wars thing there is, the Star Wars Holiday Special.
Literally fist pumped.
I'm so excited.
Which has a fucking plot and every actor from the movies in it, which is just wild, and more, and Harvey Korman, which is hilarious.
B. Arthur.
Yeah. And right after that, we're getting into something else extremely weird. The Star Wars original time, before they went through the whole Dark Horse thing and returned back at Marvel Comics when Disney purchased them, their original contract when the movies came out was with Marvel Comics as well. And I think we get like a retelling of the movie first thing first. But after that, like, we're in no man's land, baby. So
are these the weird ones?
There's a lot of weird ones.
Star Wars comics from the olden times are the things that I have the least experience with. So I'm like, man. I'm so excited.
There's some of the best content for some far out shit. It's going to be awesome.
The art is some of the art, when I look back at it, I don't know if it's going to be the early stuff or what, but some of the stuff is like, this is fucking gorgeous. It's really, really
cool. And we're going to really get, I mean, you're going to see how like, the farther away you get from the main medium, the canon just gets crazy.
Unravels a little bit.
Yeah, like all these characters, like the rabbit. I forget what that dude's name is. He's like,
oh my god.
Like, yeah, there's all kinds.
Jazz Jack. What's his
name? Yeah, Jazz Jack Rabbit from B. But
is that what he looks like?
He kind of does. I forget what his name is, but we're gonna run into a bunch of crazy shit. Splinter of the Mind's Eye is just the tip of the iceberg. We also, after those comics, we're gonna do the Han Solo books. We're gonna start some of those Han Solo adventures.
Some of them are really good
novellas that are like a little different. And it's funny because Han Solo is so far away from the time. He's so much more likable of a person than Luke is. So it's interesting to get like an adult story about a guy that's like cool in the Star Wars universe since Luke is such a nerd. But
again, he still has dad energy vibes.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, Han is daddy.
Let's
be real.
It's just
Jackson. Is that the guy?
Jackson Jackrabbit.
Jackson the leppy smoke. This guy?
Yeah, he's green.
No. Like,
this guy's is
like
the Star Wars rabbit.
He's like a rabbit.
Oh yeah, that's him. Yeah,
with a Flash Gordon gun.
Yeah, we'll get there. But get hyped. Star Wars Holiday Special coming up next. Thanks for listening to Star Wars.
He's from Coachella Prime.
Dude,
I think I went to Coachella. I think I went to Coachella Prime. We'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.
The Star Wars Old Canon Book Club is made possible by contributions from our listeners at patreon.com/SWOCBC, where this week, a guide to the events of the novel is currently available to all patrons. This month's Patreon Masters of the Force are Benjamin Hicks, Amy W, T-Boneses, Paul Walker, Parker Lang, Hourly Sword, Jazz Owl, Colin Garmeyer, Evan Alexander Guillen, Peacetime Mando, Metroid Mike, Matthew Mavroides. Thanks for listening. We'll be back soon with a discussion about our next selection, the Star Wars Holiday Special, a special television event by Steve Binder, first broadcast on November 17th, 1978. This episode was edited by Alex Del Campo and Alex Fossiani. The theme song is Venus, the Bringer of Peace by Gustav Holst. Original show art by Jackie Whistler. See you next time.